Things are good, aren't they? Hallelujah. I want to read you a letter off of what was given us, written to us. I have to keep some things kind of hidden here for the sake of them, because this will be going over television. We did not get a chance to tell you what we have been struggling with, this whole issue of tithes and offerings, and have been seeking an answer from the Lord. When you said in a service that you had a different message prepared, but the Lord woke you up at 4 a.m. and told you to preach on this message, all three of us turned and looked at each other in awe that we decided to go to your church yesterday to hear your teaching, which we have been doing through your messages on your website, and then for the Holy Spirit to alert you as to what we needed to hear regarding tithes and offerings. We were just blown away. We have been taught from the pulpit that we rob God if we do not tithe, and that the earth is still cursed, and if we do not tithe 10%, then the Lord cannot bless the other 90% of our earnings, as it is all connected to the cursed land. And nowhere in the New Testament does this tell us that the earth was redeemed from the curse. So we have been as sort through these messages and have been searching for the truth, as it is unsettling to us to hear these messages Sunday after Sunday. So we began our search and ended up at your church. And I can't go on to the rest of it because it would give identity as to where this was from. And I have to cover the ministers that have been preaching these kind of messages, and God will honor that. Amen. But how many of you have heard that preaching? You've heard that? I didn't even know there was such a teaching. You know, bless their darling hearts. And like Dad Hagen said, in their stupid heads. Because if you believe that, where in the world would you begin and end with that kind of concept? If the earth is cursed and the curse hasn't been removed to it, and it's directly connected to money, did you know that your flesh came from earth? Did you know that? You're dust of the dust. Amen. Well, does that mean it's still connected to the earth? And if it's still connected to the earth, you see, that kind of concept ain't going to cut it. Really, what that teaching does is a con game to get your money. You know, put you under a curse. You know, so many people ask me, Pastor, when are you going to get to how the blessing comes? When are you going to get to teaching us how the blessing comes? Well, I've been saying it. Remember, the Lord spoke to me and told me, I want you to put your people under the anointing to receive the blessing. And if you will, open your Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll touch on it just for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. How does the blessing come? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's start with verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. We brought out that this verse in the language that it was written is worded a little differently. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth to bless shall also reap blessings. Shall also reap blessings. Matter of fact, over in Malachi, the famous chapter to put everybody under the curse, is where they say that you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Prove me herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not pour out a blessing upon you so that there not be room enough to contain it. And Malachi was the last book written before the New Testament came into being. And the word for blessing here is a very interesting word. It is the word Barak. Barak. And This word for Barak, literally Baraka, I mean, not Barak, but Baraka. This is the Hebrew word Baraka. The word Baraka is a very interesting word. This word literally means to speak or to pronounce or to say something in the form of a blessing. It literally means to say or speak a blessing into your life. To say or speak a blessing into your life. In other words, this particular word literally means that there is a willingness for someone to speak the blessing on your life. A willingness for someone to speak a blessing on your life. And in this case, it would mean, if it's talking about voicing something, it literally says that God will speak on your behalf a blessing. God will speak on your behalf a blessing. I thought it was very interesting. This word makes a different change in Genesis 12. In that chapter is where God cut a covenant with Abraham, or the pre-incarnate Christ, cut a covenant with Abraham. They didn't use the word Baraka. They used the word Barak, which literally means to kneel or salute. To kneel or salute. It means literally a surrendering. And in this case, it would be a surrendering to one another. So Abraham was surrendering his blessing to God, and God was surrendering his blessing to Abraham. So there was an equalness in the relenting of blessing everyone. Did you know that God was blessed by Abraham? By Abraham's faith and trust in him, he received a blessing from God. Literally, this word blessing, Barak, literally means one who is willing in a state of humility to surrender to the other one a blessing. It literally means one who kneels. Have you ever thought of God kneeling to Abraham and saying, Abraham, because you and I have cut covenant, I'm willing to surrender myself into your life if you're willing to surrender yourself into my life? Isn't that beautiful? It's talking about a humility that takes place on both parts. And then we know the story that God went ahead and cut that covenant with Abraham. Now I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 here, it says in verse 7, every man according as he purposed in his heart. Now, he's literally expounding on verse 6 on how you sow or how you give in to the kingdom of God. Notice, according as he purposed in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, and his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. I thought it was very interesting. Along with the blessing, he increases the fruits of your righteousness. In other words, when you purpose in your heart to bless the kingdom of God, it's not according to what you don't have, it's according to what you do have, because the largeness of your gift is not so much in the amount that you're giving, but the attitude of the bigness of your heart in which you're giving it. And what he's referring to here in a lot of these verses, he's talking about over there in Exodus, I think it's chapter 20, he talked about was commanded of everyone to go out on a daily basis and get an omer. In other words, everyone was to go out and do their part in gathering up and bringing into the encampment what they could bring as far as blessing the nation of Israel and the priesthood. And so everyone went out, and it said some could gather much and some could only gather just a little bit. They didn't have the strength or the capacity to gather a whole bunch. And when they brought it all back to the encampment, the priests received all of their giving, and then the priests distributed out according to everyone's need. Are you following? So the one who could gather a whole lot gathered so much that when he gave, he was given back by the priest his portion for his household, but yet his abundance reaped to the blessing of someone else's lack. Are you following? So that there was an equality in everyone's giving. Isn't that interesting? Notice he doesn't bring up the issue of the tithe here. He starts talking about multiplying a seed that is given. God began to tell me that you don't start necessarily with the tithe and the offering. Well, the offering is anything above the tithe. He says you don't start there. He says some of you came out of debt into the kingdom of God still, what? Still inheriting the debt. Wouldn't it be nice if you got born again and your debt was canceled? You know, they want to talk about the church and the state being divided. Well, that's fine by me as long as the state's willing to cancel everything that I've ever owed it because I came into the kingdom of God. Wouldn't that be nice? No, you bring that debtedness back into you. But when you come into the house of God, there's a commitment that begins to take place, and that is your responsibility of investing into the kingdom of God. Why? Well, because, are you ready? When the Abrahamic covenant was drawn up, it was 490 years before the law ever came into being. Are you following me? And so the Abrahamic covenant was consummated on the cross. When I saw the passion, I knew that when Jesus said it was finished, everything is complete. He was talking about two covenants that were brought to completion. Number one, the Mosaic covenant was fulfilled. And number two was the what? The part of the Abrahamic covenant that Jesus, pre-incarnate as Christ, told Abraham he would do. He brought the sacrifice that would be sufficient for both of them. He didn't have to give Isaac. He proved himself he was willing to do that. Well, somebody said, well, you know, God knew what he was going to do. He just wanted Abraham to make sure he knew what he was going to do. You know what that's called? Stupidity. Read your Bible. God had to stay his hand by an angel and said, now I know. I believe in the openness of God. He's not trying to do this theatrical thing in his, quote, sovereignty. He's working with us as humans in our time frame. Are you following me? Now, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified again because I want to capitalize on a little bit on how the blessing comes to you. Notice verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always and under all circumstances, whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. For as it is written, he, the benevolent person, scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His needs of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. That's a quote from Psalms 112. Glory to God. You know something? I love what God had to brag on about Cornelius. He said, you know, this man is going to come to salvation because I have two memorials set before me. Number one is what? He loves me. And number two, now this guy's not even saved. Spiritually dead man. And number two, his giving. You know, your giving has value with God. Your giving has value with God. And I'm going to tell you something about money. When you relent money, don't you think that God knows the influence of money over the hearts of men? I meant money has power within itself. It has the power to usher in the ultimate sin, pride. And it originated in the devil. Are you following me? But the most frustrating thing about money is that in order for us to get it, we don't expect God to just open the windows of heaven to just drop a blessing. just because we get... Now, some Christians have that kind of mentality. But you know what? When he says he'll pour out the windows of blessings on it, means he will speak back into our life in such a way that he knows that what we have need of, he can lead us to where it is. Are you following me? He didn't say in the book of James, you know, if any man, when you fall into divers tests and trials, if any man lacks wisdom, he says, let him ask of God. Well, the whole book of James is on the issue of the influence of money that gotten into the church. And many of the believers, the converted Jews, wanted to go back to trusting in riches rather than trusting in the wisdom of God that comes from above. Are you following me? And when it talks about he'll open the windows of heaven, he's talking about he will speak the wisdom that is necessary to obtain wealth. He'll lead and guide you on a daily basis. Hallelujah. If you're willing to surrender and give your heart to him, and the same heart that's willing to give and surrender to him is the same heart that you've got to deal with the issue of money in your life. And if ministers or priests use con games to try to get it out of you, it leaves out the element of your heart. Now, how does the anointing come? How does the increase come to your household? Your heart is the avenue through which the money and the blessing comes. Yeah. Not the element itself. It's the issue of your heart. God is not interested in the dollar. Why? Because men here that die, they're the ones that need dollar. But God wants the issue of the heart so that His kingdom can flow more smoothly in the area of money in the issue of the body of Christ. And we've dammed it up by putting people under curses because they don't give. And just like that stupid letter we just read. I mean, if a minister preached that to me, I wouldn't bother. I wouldn't even go to that church. Because if he's that perverted in the understanding of money, then he's that perverted in understanding in the other portion of the Scriptures of God's Word. Are you following me? He's not ready for ministry. He's prematurely acting. Because you don't lead people in that direction. So where does God want to start with you? Well, the writer here in 2 Corinthians, which is Paul, he started out with, hey, us as ministers, we have a right to live off the gospel. Hey, we have a right to even lead a woman around. Some of the apostles were not accepted because Peter... Everywhere he went, he brought his woman. Peter was a woman man. He loved his wife. Matter of fact, in martyrism and death, he begged her to run to death. He said, woman, run to death. Be the witness in your death. Run to it. Because in that, you'll be in the presence of my Lord Jesus. You know, so these apostles, they knew how to live and they knew how to die for the sake of the kingdom of God. Today, especially in America alone, believers are trying to look for a way of getting out of the responsibility of the gospel rather than realizing the life in God was deposited in you so you can do the will of God in the kingdom of God. That's the whole essence of the new birth. Till a man understands what God has given him and poured into him, he is without an excuse that he cannot perform what God asked him to do. But it still takes the issue of your heart to do it. Nothing more frustrating than not have a dollar to give to the kingdom of God when you desire to. Well, give your heart to God first and you'll have opened yourself up. Are you following me? To the wisdom that's got to come through this natural brain so God can give you a revelation of where to start. God spoke to me explicitly in my life right now. I'm going through hell myself. Mainly because I'm the man giving you the info. I mean, you think he isn't going to shoot at me? He shot at me with every, give me your best shot. Well, he gave it without me asking for it. But I could tell you something. In the midst of my trial, God spoke to me exactly how to bring the blessing on my life where I'm at. And when he spoke it to me, I was shocked. I said, is that all you want? He says, you ought to run to perform that very thing I've asked you to do as though it was your life. Amen. That little thing. I said, come on, ask me to do something big. He said, you can't handle what you are doing. He said, let's go with a little. I says, okay, God. Okay, I'm going to do that. And he says, okay, there you go. He says, now get ready.
He says, because what you are going to sow, he said, that I'm going to add. Yeah. Wrong. Multiply. Yeah. Yep.
Kenneth Copeland, you know how he started his prosperity? A pencil. A pencil. He said, this thing costs money. I'm throwing it in the bucket. He started somewhere, and that principle, the same principle of giving, has not left his heart and life. Why? Because he has a desire to bless the kingdom of God. Why? It's in his nature. Now, somebody said,
tithing is Old Testament, it's not new.
Well, let me say this again. Bring back to your memories. Did you know that the Ten Commandments is Old Testament, not new? Some of you are afraid to say yes, amen. Is the Ten Commandments Old Testament, not new? It is, huh? It's Old Testament, not new. It's both. Well, we got a both going there. Both is right. It is not only Old Testament, it is New Testament. Here's the thing about New Testament from the Old Testament. Are you ready? The Old Testament, the Ten Commandments had a curse added to it. The New Testament, the Ten Commandments, the curse is removed from the Ten Commandments. I got scripture on that, man. Now, if that's the case, then why me a New Testament covenant man? Why is the curse getting on me? How many of you ever had a curse come on you? I'm going to be the first witness to that. Any of you ever have a curse come on you? Hey, how many of you are struggling financially? It seems like all hell broke loose. It seems like every bank in the nation's running from you, and you don't know where you're going to get anything. Can any hands on that? Get your hands up. Your curse is operating there. Well, if there's no curse added to the Ten Commandments, then why in the world is the curse coming on me? Well, just because you got saved, it ought to be there, the blessing. Why? Because you gave your heart to the Lord. So, plump, the blessings ought to be there. I asked the Lord one day, I says, how come every time I go around some corner that I think the blessing's there, it's gone? I can smell the aroma of the blessing, but it's not there. It just took off so quick that the aroma just kind of lingered a little bit. How many of you ever felt that? Well, when God told me just to obey in what He asked me to do, that He was going to bring the increase, it wasn't because of the fact of what He asked me to do. It's so minimal, it shocked me. It's the fact that I'm being obedient to what He spoke to me to act on. Yeah, one sister, she was right, man. She said, anytime you step out to perform the Word of God, you're going to have the devil in your face. And if you think you're not, you got... And somebody said, well, the Lord told me that He would rebuke the devil for my name's sake. How come He's on me? Because it's not up to God to rebuke the devil for your name's sake. It's up to you to take the position that Christ did by removing the curse from the law, to stand in the devil's place and tell him where to go. Amen. Boy, I'm so excited about the promises of God when I wake up in the morning. I'm not into that old condemnation crap sitting there. I got to sow a bunch of stuff that you ain't got anyway to sow anyway. And I can stand up boldly and say, I'm being obedient to what God asked me to do. Even though it be small, it will greatly increase. He will multiply it. And my sights are on being obedient to blessing the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And you're not stopping me, devil. Get out of my house.
Well, you haven't done right. You know you've done.
Shut up! Get out of here! I told you to leave!
Well, you know that. I said, I don't know nothing, you tell me, because all it is condemnation, junk, you've robbed, you steal, and you've destroyed my house enough, you stay out of it.
Amen.
Get up.
Right.
Shut the door. Yep. A matter of fact, if your imagination can sense the presence of the devil, then in the natural, go and open your natural door and out. I had to do that one night in this church. Oh, God gave me discerning of spirits on that one. It wasn't imagination. I literally asked him to get out. Now, turn over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Let's deal with this.
Tying no thinking. It's like a law.
Okay. Oh, we're about ready to indict us all. You know, we're responsible for what we know. Whether we agree with it or not, if it's truth, we're responsible for it. In Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 5. And verily they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes. Say this with me. They had a commandment to take tithes. We read it. He's there. They had a commandment to take tithes. Right? Now watch this. Of the people, they had a commandment to take tithes of the people. Who had a commandment to take tithes of the people? The priesthood. Notice they had a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Oh my gosh. Tithing's definitely Old Testament. It said according to the law. Did you know that the tithe was instituted 490 years before the law? Did you know that? So if that's the case, then the curse of the law was not even on the tithe when the tithe was instituted. You want to know why? Did you know the Abrahamic covenant is the only covenant that doesn't have stipulation of curses on it? You want to know why? Because the one who helped draw up the covenant with Abraham was going to be the curse for the Abrahamic covenant. Duh. That's true. He was going to be the curse. So why add a curse to a covenant that you're going to be the curse of? So you know what the Abrahamic covenant is? It's the covenant that belongs to sonship. It's never been done away with. It belongs to the New Testament believer. Well then, if that's so, what is the responsibility of the Abrahamic covenant? Doing your portion to support the kingdom of God in that inheritance that have been given you.
Well, you know, still, it's kind of Old Testament, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, tithe is mentioned in the Old Testament as being Old Testament. Now we got a verse that literally says law was added to it, even before law was given. Then all of a sudden, we've got a strong revelation that the Ten Commandments is Old Testament. And coming into the new, now let me ask you something. If the Ten Commandments have not been passed away in the sense of being New Testament, yet talked about Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Amen? Then what makes the Ten Commandments different today than it was yesterday? You want to know what the difference is? No curse. Curse had been removed. No curse added to the Ten Commandments. But how many of you realize that when you break one of those commandments, you reap the benefit of the curse of it? What makes me any different than the Old Testament believer? There's a big difference, people. Big difference. Are you ready? The Old Testament believer had no way of keeping the Ten Commandments because they didn't have the life and nature of God in them to perform it.
But the New Testament believer, when he gets born again, he receives the Spirit of Christ on the inside of him, meaning Spirit of Christ, meaning not his Spirit, Christ's Spirit. You have your own Spirit when you're born of God, because your soul is still attached to your own Spirit. But listen, what God did is he instituted what we call a law of nature, which is the law of Christ into your heart. And the reason he did that is so you are able to perform by nature the law of God, because he writes it in the tablets of your heart. So that means that if I want to covet, the first thing I'm going to do is get a correction from God for coveting. I go to touch what belongs to God, and all of a sudden something on the inside, wrong, deep, 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 deep. How many of you know the deets? Buzzards go off. Well, why is that? Because you have a consciousness of God on the inside of you that will let you know when you are wrong. It'll go off on the inside of you. That's how he writes the law of God in the tablets of your heart. Now, are you ready for this? If that's the case, and they gave tithes according to law, does that mean then tithes are done away with? If the law was added to the tithe, and they were commanded to give it according to law, does that mean then that the tithe is done away with? If the law is not done away with, the tithe's not done away with. Why? Because New Testament, it's all connected to the issue of your heart. Did you get that? Well, what if I haven't been giving? Praise God, you don't have a curse hanging over you. What do I got hanging over me? You've got hanging over you one who became the curse for you, so that when you know that you've done wrong, you can run to Jesus, the city of refuge, and you just confess your sin and say, I've missed it, Lord, would you forgive me? And he'll say, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Let me get into your heart and mind now, and let me work in you in such a way that you'll never experience a violation of anything ever again. Glory to God. What does that boil down to? Stewardship! Did you guys get something here today? Did you get something? Are you free? No, you're not. You're not free. You're responsible for the Ten Commandments. You're responsible for the tithe. But you get to do it according to the issues of your heart. Hallelujah. It's in your hands, not God's. Are you free? You're free in Him. So, if they were commanded to give tithes by law, they had a curse on them. You know something? I don't mind me being my own curse, as long as I know God will straighten me out. But when I got God as a curse on me, that's another story. And that's what they're preaching to you in the messages they're saying today. God can't give you a curse. Why? Because Jesus became a curse for you. All right, I want you to do something for me real good, because next Sunday we're going to deal with this issue. Are you ready? We're going to deal with the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Write it down. I want you to go home, and I want you to read that chapter, so that when I get into it, we're going to break it down in such a way that you people are going to come unglued with joy. So how do I give today? It's not according to what you don't have, it's according to what you do have. And God knows that when you give your seed, He's going to multiply the seed that you do sow. You're not sowing to get something out of God. You're sowing to give something to God. Everybody stand up. Oh, everybody sit down. I always keep forgetting to take...
I'm so used to taking it at the beginning of the service. And if you'd like an envelope, raise your hands. And listen, people. Listen, the anointing starts where you're at. That's what He's going to multiply. And again, I'm going to tell you something about giving. When you're in debt, none of you know where the money's going to come from in the natural a lot of time. Oh, you might have some ideas. Amen? That's why Jesus, again, I want to bring you back to the issue of the fish. He could have reached into His treasury and said, Judas, pay off my debt of taxes. But Jesus gave us an example. When it comes to money, a lot of times you don't know where it's going to come from. And that's why He chose for Peter to do what he did, so you and I would get an understanding that many times when God creates a blessing in your life, you don't know where it's going to come from, so quit trying to figure it out. Just be obedient to what He asks you to do. I could see Peter going down there. I think Jesus flipped his lid. He telling me we're going to pay our tax debt by some little fish. All right, Lord. I hope this thing's going to work, Lord. Can you imagine? I mean, I would have thought that. Oh, Peter didn't think that way. He trusted in God. Oh, really? Well, I think Peter was one. Wasn't he one of them that said, eat my flesh and drink my blood? That's it. You've gone too far now. We're out of here. I think Peter, when he went down there, he was hoping it would work. Well, he was a Jew. Can you imagine throwing that line in there, pulling that fish out and opening the mouth, and there's the coin. Wow. Just like that lady said, giving her testimony. In the natural, I gave myself out of house and home. All of a sudden, boing, up comes the issue of a blessing. Amazing. 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 Wouldn't life be a lot more enjoyable if you gave into the kingdom of God knowing where your blessing is going to come from? No, it wouldn't be faith. It would be sight. All of us want sight when it comes to money. Sight. Let me see before I give. That helps. It's a carnal man, but we live by faith and not by sight. Father, as these people now prepare to give into to the treasury of the church, Father, I pray that with every message and with every opportunity for them to hear this message, I pray they apply it and perform it. And when the enemy comes in, I pray that they stand against him. I pray they take to the position of right for the blessing that belongs to him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we have a blessing for you tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, those little kids, they're upset, man. Bucket went by them too quick. Wait, wait, wait. Stop! Hey, do you guys believe in giving to the kingdom of God? Well, you know, tithing's Old Testament. You know, portion of my heart. His Old Testament. If it's done away with, then that part of me is done away with. We know that's a lie. Praise God. You know, it's very funny how we will search our whole life and labor our whole life for the natural man. Everybody's got this, when I retire. When I retire. I've done this when I retire. Well, what about when you're exhumed? When you're exhumed, what kind of treasure are you going to have beyond the retire? My dad, that's all he thought about was, when I retire.
when I retire.
He retired and died. And his wealth went to somebody else. Isn't that interesting? Not even to the kingdom of God. I like Lester Summerall. He says, when I die, if I have $1 million in my bank account, I died a pauper. Why? Every bit of it should have gone right back into the kingdom. His sons will tell you, all his money, everything was tied back up into the kingdom of God. There was only a small portion that was given to family. The rest of it went back into the kingdom of God. Mission work. You know, Lester Summerall died a wealthy man. Flat broke. Gave it all away. Did you guys get something here today? Act on what is preached to you. You know, I don't believe in curses. I don't believe in fleeces. But I believe in confirmation. And I said, Lord, I want a confirmation of what I'm sharing with my people. I says, I hear your voice every morning. I have confidence in that. But it sure helps to get confirmation sometimes, especially where I least expect it. Bless Chuck's heart. He said, I had a dream. And he shared the dream with me. And Timmy, my son, and I were in the dream. And that was one of the things I was concerned about. Chuck says, I know, it's probably one of the weird dreams, probably not even of God. But he's telling me this dream, and I get this little beanie on my head. I don't know why, but this beanie gets on my head. And I just look at that as some form of anointing. And I'm getting this beanie on my head, and as he's telling me the dream, which seemingly doesn't make any sense at all, I understood everything. And God was giving me confirmation to what I'm sharing with you. I was so excited. I went in my office behind Chuck's back, and I went, yes, Lord, yes, yes, hallelujah. Confirmation is so good. Got a blessing coming, Tim. Is Tim here? Where you at, Tim? Where'd my kid at? Hey, stand up. Hey, with Jenny. Jenny, she makes you whole in the natural. God's got a blessing coming into you guys' life. You're going to have to watch how you handle it. I'll share the confirmation with you. Praise God. You can sit down now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. You're giving what is necessary for that anointing to flow in your life. Take advantage of it. I am. Take advantage of it. 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 Stand up, everybody. You can stand up this time. Oh, sit back down. We're going to take up another offering. No. Praise God. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, we are now closing this service. And Father, as we do, Father, I pray that everything that I've shared with your people this morning, they'll get a hold of it, they'll get the revelation of it, and they'll move forward. Father, may they be saturated with your blessings by the anointing of the living God in their life. By the anointing of the living God in their life. Not by the anointing of some man, but by the anointing of the Word of God in their life.
this morning, if there be anybody here that has never given their heart and life to Jesus, you've known about Him, but never committed your heart and life to Him, you can have that opportunity this morning. And number two, if you're here and you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, we want to give you that opportunity to receive. Hallelujah, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And if you're here this morning and you've broken fellowship with the Lord, this is the time. This is the day of your salvation. This is the day you get right back into fellowship with Him and move on with Him. And if you have a physical need of healing in your body, oh, today is the day for your healing. So with that in mind, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you feel led to come forward here, feel free to do it right now. Salvation, restoration, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, divine healing, you feel free to come forward and get it at the altar of God. Receive it at the altar of God. Hallelujah. Anybody? Feel free to do it. Feel free to do it. Sometimes it takes one person to respond and others will follow. I'll tell you what, if you're a little shy, because I feel that there's people that need to respond, come on, honey, come on right up here. Hallelujah. When we dismiss, if you feel led to come up, feel free to do it. With that, you're dismissed. God bless you.